It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have a conversation about a number of important issues out there. Thank you to each of you for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. One of your favorite days of the week, and that is hump day, producer Steve.
Any day is a favorite day of the week if it's not Monday.
Thank you for that clarification. And do appreciate all of you listening. Go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can find all of the podcasts and recaps of our shows there. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts and op-eds. We've been on a bit of a sabbatical on our podcasts and ramping up again on the op-eds. And as we get into August 1st, we're really going to be hitting that hard. So be sure and sign up. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity on these issues. We look at them through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do this. And the list of force is increasing. But it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether like it was in the old days with a weapon. There's policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation. And we're really seeing that, Steve, as we see housing values go up, the assessed valuation go up, people's taxes will be going up, and they don't even really realize that. But then another one is fear. Coercion. The latest is that silent thief, and that's that government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you should not need force to implement it.
Isn't it interesting that the list is growing, you know, in the, you know, relatively recent change in administration? Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that government-induced inflation goes directly to this administration and their policies. And the interesting thing about this is this obviously is Obama 2, where he wanted to transform our nation. And I think people, we were going along and you're like, can this be turned around? Can this change? And along comes Trump and he reduces taxes. He reduces rules and regulation, and the economy was just humming before the reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. And so we take hope in knowing that through public policy, good policy, this can be turned around. Today is our health and hydrocarbons show. And we realize that limited government, capitalism, hydrocarbons, those things, fossil fuels, those are three things that have actually empowered everyday people to thrive and prosper. And of course, we've had this war on our fossil fuels. But we're seeing with what happened down in Texas with the big freeze out in California with the heat that's going on, these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties are saying, well, you know what? You may not be able to cool your home. Or during the freeze down in Texas, people were not able to heat their homes. And we're seeing that fossil fuels are unreliable, and reliable, efficient, affordable, and efficient energy really, again, allows everyday people to thrive and prosper, not only here in America, but throughout the world. And so we've seen this war on that, but we can turn these policies around. But Steve, one of the first things when Biden came into office is he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline.
The very same day. the very same day. Yeah.
But what's so interesting is that they're actually helping the pipeline, the Russians build the pipeline over in Europe. Go figure. What's up? You know. But anyway, we'll talk with Kathleen Scamma about that in the third and fourth segment. Greg Lopez, who is running for governor in 2022 here in Colorado, will join us in the second segment regarding this transportation bill, Senate Bill 260, which, again, hurts everyday hardworking people. I'm getting the feeling that those that have taken over the Democrat Party don't like everyday hardworking people, Steve.
You think?
You think? So,
but
hey,
they're playing a game of Russian roulette in a way. I mean, after a while,
with our lives and our prosperity.
After a while, the jig is up, and come the midterms, they're going to find out just how far over the line they went.
Well, and that is why election integrity is so important. And yesterday we talked with Holly Kaysen, who is with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And I think we need to take a look at things here in Colorado. And Secretary of State Gina Griswold issued an executive rule, which we're not even sure she can do that, that says, no, we can't have any third party parties coming in and taking a look at our voting machines, our elections. And it's like, if there's nothing to hide, why can't we take a look at it? And so Holly really recommended that we reach out to each of our county clerks, because what is happening, 62 of the 64 counties here in Colorado use the Dominion voting machines. And what is Gina Griswold is doing right now is they're going in, they're updating these machines, when they update that, we may lose some of the information regarding the hardware, what it did during this last election cycle. And per federal law, that needs to be preserved for 25 months. That's my understanding, or federal rules. And so contact your county clerk and ask them or request that they not do this update yet. And so I heard from one of our listeners, and this she sent this email. She said, "Dear Kim, I heeded the advice you all gave this morning," that was yesterday, "on auditing the machines in Colorado. I am 73 and made it a point when I called the county clerk in my county to say that I was a native resident. I said I am highly concerned about voter integrity. I said these machines, according to law, weren't certified by Colorado law. I said that the push by Griswold to update machines as well as stop any third-party evidence would destroy evidence in an audit that was to be done, and to stop these updates even though some have been done. So people are concerned about the integrity of their vote. Kim, I pass this letter on to at least seven others who I encourage to call." So all of you, I would take this and do this today. This listener did this yesterday. I so thank her for doing that. And Steve, I love that.
Well, we covered this on Friday, right after Ms. Griswold did her thing. And what gets me is the heavy-handed language that she used in making her proclamation. "We will not risk the state's election security nor perpetuate the big lie. Sham audits have no place in Colorado." That's heavy language.
That is really heavy language. And sham audit, the fact that everyday people are asking questions about this. And ultimately, Steve, the truth does come out. And that is why we do this show. Many people across America are searching for truth and clarity on these issues. And again, we look at these as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are America and the land of the free. And we need to preserve that. We are at a dangerous time in our country right now. And we do not have to strap on, get a weapon right now to fight what's going on, but we have to engage in this battle of ideas. And that's why we do the show, is to help you get your brain around these issues so you can talk with your friends and your family and your colleagues and your neighbors, because we are talking about preserving and conserving the American idea. And what is that idea? It is enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, that we are all created equal by God, and we have these rights from God, and some of them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is unique in history, to have this country founded on this idea. And we see those in office all the way up to the presidency do not seem to like that idea. They do not seem to like everyday hardworking Americans. And so that is why we must engage in this battle of ideas each and every day, Steve.
Well, what happened, you know, a little history, recent history, what happened in 2016, a gentleman stepped out of the private sector and brought forth a plan to help the working middle class. And, you know, why was he propelled to such, you know, heights? And I hate to use the word stardom, but the working middle class took heed.
And we still do. What this did is this shed light. It brought clarity to the issues at hand. So many people are paying attention. And I know, Steve, there is frustration that there are those that put their fingers in their ears, close their eyes, say, I don't want to know anything. But I think that that group is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And that is why we have to step forward. And to that point, there is something very important that is happening this weekend. And this is happening up at Boulder. And a Sergeant Donald DeLoy Stoddard, United States Marine Corps World War II, survived the battles at Guadalcanal, only to be killed in action at the battles in Tarawa on November 22, 1943. It was a terrible battle. And he was buried there with many others, and his remains were identified in April of 2020, and he's coming home to his final resting place. He has one nephew, and they're not sure he's going to be able to make it to the services. And they're going to, his services are Saturday, this Saturday, June 26, 10 a.m., at Mountain View Memorial Park at 3016 Kalmia Avenue in Boulder. And if you are available, unfortunately, I have I'm excited about the commitment I have, but I'm not going to be able to make it. But we talk about appreciating our freedom. And this young man died in 1943, and I think it's going to be a very special memorial service. I'd recommend that you attend if at all you can. And let's jump over here to our inspiration of the day. You mentioned you had a couple of quotes you want to do that after Steve or before?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get our next
guest on. Oh, not a problem.
What was the question?
Regarding the quote, I'll go ahead and give that. You said that you had something that you wanted to add on to that. So this is from John Dickinson, and he was a founding father. He was a solicitor and a politician from Philadelphia and Wilmington, Delaware. He was known as the penman of the Revolution for his 12 letters from a farmer in Pennsylvania, published individually in 1767 and 1768. He was born in 1732. He died in 1808, and he said this. He said, let these truths be indelibly impressed on our minds, that we cannot be happy without being free, that we cannot be free without being secure in our property, that we cannot be secure in our property if, without our consent, others may, as by right, take it away, that taxes imposed on us by Parliament, or I'm going to say the Colorado State Legislature, do thus take it away. Thought that was a very important quote, Steve.
Yep, they were. And you know, again, Patty's the wordsmith here, and I know she can tell me what the word is when we touch on something, words that were spoken 180 years ago or more and are so applicable to here and now. I've been seeing a lot of Rand Paul quotes lately, and he seems to be hitting the nail on the same nail on the head, just like this quote does. Here's one. The founders never intended for Americans to trust their government. Our entire Constitution was predicated on the notion that government was a necessary evil to be restrained and minimized as much as possible.
That's for sure. And the founders did realize that. Before we go to break, Steve, one other thing I wanted to mention is on America's Veteran Stories this week. We recorded this yesterday with Tim Hall. Vietnam veteran. He was a truck driver in Vietnam, and he's written a book, Marines Never Cry, Becoming a Man When It Mattered. And that's going to be this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. And would highly recommend that you listen in on that. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Greg Lopez. He is a candidate for governor in 2022. And if we want to get this state turned around, get back to where it's the rugged individual free spirit in Colorado that built Colorado, we're going to have to make a change in the governor's office. And Greg Lopez is stepping forward, putting his hat in the ring to do so. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting us to keep our independent voice on the air. As we search for truth and clarity, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Greg Lopez. He is a candidate for governor 2022 here in Colorado. And he's deeply concerned about what is going on in Colorado. Greg Lopez, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Great to have you as well. My gosh, Greg, this last legislative session here in Colorado, we had Kevin Lundberg on Monday. He's a former state senator, and he is the executive director of the Republican Study Committee. And we thought it was bad last year, but what happened this year is very bad for everyday hardworking people, people trying to move up the economic ladder, the poor and the disadvantaged, even though the Democrats, and this is not the Democrat Party of JFK, This has been taken over by radical activists, and the policies they put forward they hurt the disadvantaged, the poor, everyday hardworking people. And one of those really bad pieces of legislation is this Senate Bill 260, and they always have nice words in the title, the sustainability of our transportation system, but it's anything but that. What's your thoughts on this, Greg?
You know, Kim, you're absolutely correct. You know, as you read this bill, and, you know, for those of you that are out there, your listeners, it's 165 pages long. I mean, they are really trying to, you know, do a regulatory scheme on putting fees on each and every one of us here in Colorado, and it's just wrong. I mean, this is a bill that's going to hurt, like you were just saying, the poor, seniors, you know, young couples. I mean, they're just putting fees, they claim, on us being able to purchase gas, but really, these are taxes. Anytime someone forces a fee on you that you don't want, you know, because they believe they need additional money in government, it's a tax. And I really don't agree with the courts here in Colorado to say it's a fee, it's not a tax, because you talk to anybody out there, and they will tell you it feels like a tax, it looks like a tax, and so it is a tax. And so this is really bad legislative bill, and it's going to hurt our entire state. And the sad thing about this, Kim, is that a lot of people aren't paying attention, and you really have to study what's going on in the legislature, because they are hurting the poor and the hardworking men and women of Colorado. And this bill is going to be hurting us forever because it keeps getting adjusted for inflation.
As governor, what would you have done about this, Greg?
You know, you were talking earlier, Kim, about how government needs to play a certain role. And, you know, when things are good, if it's a good legislation, then, you know what, it should be able to be approved by the people. The people are smart enough that they can understand if they really want to do this. I would have vetoed this bill. This bill is so bad, and it's so misleading. I mean, you just mentioned the title, but they created four businesses within the state of Colorado. Four. And these are colossal enterprises, and they do this so that they can get around Tabor and they can get around the other bill that we passed, Proposition 117, that put restrictions on enterprises. So instead of following what the people want, they decided they were going to create four enterprises. And again, here's government trying to figure out a way how to still achieve their personal agenda on the backs of hardworking people. I would have vetoed this bill. If there's anything good about this, I would have taken it to the vote of the people. There's no reason for it to happen as quickly as the governor would like to see it happen, because our roads are going to be there forever. And so there's nothing like, from my understanding, there's no urgency. And the legislature's identified $1.8 billion going towards roads. So I would have vetoed it. This is bad legislation. And you know what? Here's what I'll tell you, Kim, and all your listeners out there. This is just another example on how deficient the legislature and the governor has when it comes to emotional intelligence. They're just looking at numbers. They're not looking at the impact that they're creating on families. And this bill alone is going to hurt rural Colorado more than anybody else, because they drive the farthest to get their kids to school. They drive the farthest to go to the grocery store. They drive further than anybody in the urban corridor. And this is just another attack on rural Colorado.
What do you think this is, this attack on rural Colorado? Because there was this initiative, Initiative 16, which was called PAWS. And basically it would, and it was struck down by the Supreme Court because it was not a single subject, which I'm so grateful here in Colorado that ballot initiatives have to only be one subject, and they had a whole bunch of things in there, but that would have hurt rural Colorado. And of course, we saw earlier this year that Governor Polis declared a meat out day. Of course, rural Colorado people rallied to show support for our farmers and ranchers. But even though this PAWS Act was deemed not a single subject by the Supreme Court, they're going to be back. What do you think this is? And if you think that this attack on rural Colorado doesn't affect you, then think again. Where does your food come from? It comes from rural Colorado, rural America. And so an attack on rural Colorado and rural America is an attack on your food supply. So not only do we have over here, because of public policy, an increase in your energy prices to be able to go where you want to, when you want to, in your own personal vehicle, to heat your home, to cool your home, to power your home. But then also we're seeing it now, increases in our food prices, energy, food. Those are two things that everyday people helps them thrive and flourish and prosper.
Well, let me tell you, Kim, if you listen closely to what the governor's doing and you watch, he's addicted to climate control. Everything he's doing is for climate control. And so he's not concerned about the families. You know, and when you look at really, and I've been trying to follow his logic, and I've been trying to follow where does he want to see Colorado into the future, and it's clearly he wants to make Colorado into California. But he really has this disdain, dislike for hardworking men and women. You know, and specifically those that are independent, those that are rugged, those that are out there every day trying to make a living, providing food for you and me and our tables. You know, he just doesn't like the fact that they are independent and are loving freedom patriots. They want government out of their way. You know, and this is, I'm glad what Steve said, that quote. You know, I'm going to have to get that quote for him because he's so right. We should never trust government. Our founding fathers never trusted government. We should never trust them. We should always question them. We should always try to find out what they're doing. But he's truly trying to make life harder for all the families in rural Colorado. And the only conclusion I can come to, why is he doing it? Two reasons. Climate change, in his mind, is so devastated that he's got to remove all that stuff. And then the other is, I think he's after the water. I think he really wants to grow the urban corridor. And if he doesn't get the water from rural Colorado, then he's not going to be able to grow the urban corridor. And I think that's just wrong. It is just plain wrong that he doesn't understand that there are 64 counties in the state of Colorado, and everybody is essential. No one is unessential, specifically those hardworking men and women that make Colorado the great state that it is.
Well, and Greg, just a question. I'm thinking if he has this attack on rural Colorado and wants to grow the urban corridor, how are you going to feed the urban corridor if you don't support rural Colorado? Greg Lopez, how can people get more information about you?
You know, they could go to my website, Lopez2022.com, learn all about where I stand and so forth and my positions. Again, that's Lopez2022.com. Look, we are under attack. We are right now fighting for our freedoms and our liberties. And if we don't unite, if we don't step up and have our voices heard, then we're going to find ourselves probably in a predicament that no one ever imagined would happen here in America. And that is, we're going to be, again, force versus freedom. And force is winning the day right now. So we must fight back with freedom-loving patriots to make our voices heard. And Kim, he is creating even a further divide between urban Colorado and rural Colorado. And he's not bringing us together. He's causing even a bigger division within the state. And that's just wrong. That's not what the governor should be doing.
Definitely. And so you would have vetoed this Senate Bill 260?
Of course I would have. You know, and I would have stand up early on. Now, my understanding in talking to a lot of legislatures and other individuals is that it is going to be challenged in court because they believe that this is not constitutional because of all the things that are going on. And so he was actively involved in the writing of this bill. That's why he didn't veto it. That's why he's not saying anything about it. Because, Kim, most people right now buy 656 gallons of gas a year. I had to do some research to find that out, but that equates to about $2,400 a year that they're spending on gas. When this bill comes into effect come January of next year, their tax bill is going to go over $3,240 in the next 7 years. That's a 30 to 40% increase. People cannot afford $50 to $70 more to buy gas every month. This is just wrong. And it's making it harder on seniors, the poor, you know, the disadvantaged, those hardworking men and women in Colorado. And I would have vetoed this bill, no questions asked.
Okay, Greg Lopez, thank you so much. And that is Lopez2022.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Greg Lopez, thank you. I appreciate
thank
the
you.
Fact that you would have vetoed that bill. Lauren Levy, who is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, would you have vetoed that bill?
Can you try to catch me? Because I was only been on for a couple minutes, so I didn't even
Okay, it was the transportation bill, and I'm pretty sure that if you were governor, you would have vetoed that bill as well, because it hurts everyday hardworking people, which is that's who you help, Lauren, as they're looking for mortgages. And I just wanted to ask you, interest rates, inflation, the Fed, what's going on right now, Lauren?
So it's more of the same right now. There's this persistent, I guess, thinking or understanding that rates are going to be rising. Just there was a Fed meeting last week where they announced that they think they may have to raise rates a little bit sooner than they had originally thought. They were thinking 2024. Now they're saying 2023 potentially. But so it caused a temporary, like, two-day spike in rates. And then once again, cooler heads prevailed, things calmed down, and rates came back down again just a couple of days later. So we're holding steady, and things are still good. Rates are still low and still locking people in on rates with a two in front of it every day.
Boy, people are very concerned about the Fed arbitrarily holding these rates down and all of this printing of money. And we are seeing inflation in energy prices, in food. And, of course, we've seen inflation or rising of price housing prices here in the metro area. I guess the one thing right now with interest rates so low, if you've not taken advantage of refinancing, then most certainly give Lauren a call to do that. And if you're looking for something out there in the market, at least with the low interest rates, that's pretty helpful. But getting pre-qualified is super, super important, and you can help people with that, right, Lauren?
That's right. The competition is still super intense on the purchasing side. I've just had a couple, a young couple that was, gosh, they must have made 8 offers in the last 3 days and finally got accepted on a house just last night after just constantly hitting the road and going to look at homes and writing offers. So it's very intense out there, and you have to be pre-qualified, and you have to know exactly what you can afford to spend so you can make a proper offer so you don't get caught in some sort of a bidding war that you really can't afford to be in. So, I would definitely call to get pre-qualified if you're interested in buying. But like you said, Kim, it's we're still in a good time to refi, and I would urge people to do it sooner rather than later.
How can people reach you, Lauren Levy?
The best way is just call 303-880-8881.
Again, that's 303-880-8881. Lauren Levy, I know you work with a number of different lenders, so you can help people find something that is just right for them. Thank you so much. I so appreciate your partnership on both this show and America's Veteran Stories. So we will talk to you next week.
You got it, Kim. My pleasure. Thank you.
And another great sponsor of both of my shows is Hooters Restaurants. The girls are coming over tonight, Steve, and so I will be getting some of those great smoked wings. They're half the calories, but they're super delicious. And they you can put these different rubs on them, and I'm going to try. I think I'll have the lemon barbecue rub since it is summertime. But Hooters Restaurants, they have 5 locations. That's Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And the great place to get together with friends. They have specials, great lunch specials, happy hour specials. And on Saturdays, with the purchase of an adult entree, kids eat free. So be sure and go to my website and check that out. We'll be right back. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. Hydrocarbons have helped everyday hardworking people thrive and prosper. There seems to be a war on hydrocarbons right now. We're going to talk with Kathleen Scamma. She is the president of the Western Energy Alliance about what's going on out there. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. It's brought to you by Laramie Energy. And reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy has helped everyday people throughout not only America, but throughout the world thrive and prosper. And for some reason, there seems to be this war on hydrocarbons or fossil fuels. And Kathleen Scamma, who is the president of Western Energy Alliance, is an expert on what's happening out there. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We were talking with Greg Lopez in the previous segment. He is running for governor in 2022 here in Colorado. And he mentioned rural Colorado and the policies and the legislation that's coming out of this particular administration here, Governor Polis, as well as this legislature, seems like they don't like rural Colorado very much. There's been a bunch of things that's happened. What do you see happening there, Kathleen?
Well, you know, I probably agree with him there. There certainly is a tension between urban and rural, unfortunately. And we see the people who are just living in the metro areas, Denver, Boulder, often are not very connected with the land. They don't understand where their energy comes from. They don't understand how their food is made and how, you know, their fiber is grown. So they have a tendency to think, well, oh, you're out there in rural America, you're not doing what I'm doing. You're working the land, and I don't think that's a good idea because I think it should be done this way. Well, most of your people living in urban areas don't have a clue how to grow food or have a clue what it takes to make energy. And so they end up trying to tell people in rural America how they should live their lives, when they really don't have a clue how dependent they are on the products from rural America and what it takes and how those in rural America are doing things right. They're working the land, yes, and there's, of course, an impact from human activity, but that they couldn't survive without those people in rural America. So it's really unfortunate. You know, it's funny. You hear people who have lived in cities all their lives telling people how to grow food, for example. Like, they don't like the way farmers do it. Well, they couldn't at all grow food. They haven't got a clue. But somehow they need to tell everybody what to do. And we see that through the environmental movement, especially. The environmental movement is basically people who don't do anything. They don't produce anything, except they seem to know how to tell everybody how they should do things. If we listened to them, then we wouldn't have energy 24/7. If we listened to them, we wouldn't have a secure food supply that continues to grow in yields and feed the whole world. They'd have us back doing subsistence farming, and we wouldn't actually be able to feed everybody in this country, much less the world. So you always have to take that with a grain of salt. But unfortunately, we have politicians that listen to that environmental lobby, that listen to those people in urban areas without balancing the views from rural America. And if they listen to rural America better, you know, I'm thinking of the president in particular, they would know things like that oil and natural gas is produced under high environmental standards and it's done the right way and we protect the land. But at the same time, we provide people with energy that actually powers their lives, makes them safe, healthy, protects the environment, and that without us, we would have, you know, the situation we saw in Texas. People actually died when there wasn't reliable electricity. So I think those in rural America are used to being underappreciated, but they certainly don't need to be attacked. And I do think it's unfortunate, and it's good to hear that Lopez is thinking of running and thinking of representing that segment of our society.
Well, he mentioned something, Kathleen, that I found interesting, that Polis is maybe really trying to get the water from rural America because, or rural Colorado, because he wants to build the urban corridor. I hadn't thought about that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert in water rights, but certainly the majority are owned by farmers that, you know, were first in time, you know, first in time, first in right. And that water is often purchased from those farmers and ranchers that own the water. Certainly in the oil and natural gas industry, we do purchase water when we do have to use fresh water. We purchase it from those with water rights. And, you know, that's a sign of your property when you can sell it. As far as appropriating it for, you know, urban centers, that may be.
It's hard to know. I know it's more of a subjective question on that. But and water, that's really is a different issue, which is an important one. But energy. As you were talking, Kathleen, and we've had a number of conversations about this, but reliable, affordable, efficient, and abundant energy, we really have taken it for granted. But it has actually helped us thrive and prosper here in America. But also in third world countries, I just saw somebody had returned, a friend of mine had just returned back from Africa, and they'd helped build some freshwater systems there. And again, energy is something that can help people in third world countries have fresh water, have reliable energy sources. It doesn't only help us thrive and prosper here, it improves lives across the globe.
Yes, and that's one of the very unfortunate things about this move to elevate climate change above all other considerations. Certainly climate change is something to be worried about to some extent. We continue to work to reduce emissions. Natural gas has been one of the primary reasons the United States has reduced greenhouse gas emissions. But when we look at countries that don't even have, you know, total 24/7 electricity like we take for granted in the United States, those people would be much worse off if we think about a person in 2100 rather than people right on the planet today that don't have access to electricity. And so the environmental movement is really has really been influential globally as well. And you see things like the World Bank talking about not providing money for projects that would bring reliable energy to Africa. They're now talking just about funding renewable energy, not the baseload energy that would give them 24/7 reliable energy. And so I look at it as rather a new method of colonialism. If we're telling Africa that they can't have the reliable energy that we've had and enjoyed from coal and natural gas, but that they have to just get it from wind and solar, which are intermittent, well, then they're holding those countries back. They're holding their development back. And I think that's, well, like I said, it's neocolonialism. It's imposing a solution on part of the world that has yet to fully develop. That's why we're seeing greenhouse gas emissions rise so rapidly in China and India, because they're developing their economies and they are putting in place a lot of coal power plants, because their coal is reliable, it's affordable, and it will provide them the baseload power that they need to power their economies. And the environmental impacts from that, well, first of all, they can be mitigated. You can make pretty darn clean coal plants like we have in the United States. But the impact from that is still vastly outweighed by the benefits that coal-fired power provides to those countries. Now, if we look at natural gas, that should be part of the picture, too. Natural gas has fewer greenhouse gas emissions than coal, and so it should be part of the mix. But together, that provides baseload power to the developing world. And how can we say in the West that we've developed our economies, we enjoy a very safe, modern lifestyle, but you can't have that in Africa? That's just not right. That's just morally bankrupt.
But Kathleen, instead of these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties working to put in policies to support abundant, affordable, efficient, and reliable energy, instead of trying to bring up people in third world countries, as you mentioned, the World Bank says they don't want to finance fossil fuel projects, instead of bringing people up. This is the thing with socialism. When they talk about equity, it's a race to the bottom. They want to bring us down to everyday hardworking people. They want to bring us down, bring our standard of living down, instead of doing something to raise people up. I find that really astonishing.
It is, you know, I do think they will be thwarted. I don't think people will stand for it. But you have people in central banks all across Europe and now even in the United States in positions of influence like the World Bank. I mean, you see it at Davos, you know, when all the rich gather with their private planes. And they talk about denying access to reliable, affordable energy to average everyday people. They really, if we took their vision, their elitist vision, to its ultimate conclusion, the rest of us would not have access to energy. We would have it doled out in what they think we need. But, you know, they think we need to completely decarbonize and that we shouldn't enjoy the lifestyle that we do. So yeah, they want to keep Africa from fully developing to the Western lifestyle, and they would like to return us to a very primitive lifestyle where we don't have, we don't have air conditioning because that emits too many greenhouse gas emissions. Well, you know, it sounds good now because it seems so far out into the future. And, you know, if they hype climate change and make everybody scared about it rather than deal with it as a rational problem that needs to be dealt through, then, you know, some of their policies sound good to some segments of society, But once they actually start to feel it, when they see what it means to their pocketbooks, and you know, that sounds crass, right? Oh, it's just your pocketbook, your self-interest. No, your pocketbook means deciding whether you have enough money to heat your home or cool it in the summer or eat. You know, pocketbook issues for many people are about basic survival needs. So, you know, I think once we see those come through, once people see the effect on their pocketbooks and their effect on their access to energy, just look at what happened with Colonial Pipeline, right? That was kind of a taste of what the future could be if we don't have access to gasoline.
And people were fighting at gas stations.
Yeah, exactly. And everywhere where it actually comes up, where these carbon taxes come up or these policies to restrain access to energy, the voters, the people fight back. We saw it in France with the Yellow Vest movement a couple of years ago, and we just saw it in Switzerland. They voted down a carbon tax that would have denied people access to energy by making it so much more expensive. They voted it down. And, you know, that's in Europe, which is supposedly enlightened and going, you know, moving towards solving climate change and all, you know. So when the voters have a chance to speak, they do push back on these policies. And so that's always the saving grace. But, you know, we spend a lot of effort and time and trillions of dollars chasing really bad policies.
Somebody gets rich on that, Kathleen. And one other thing before we go to break is a bunch of this bad legislation that was passed here in Colorado. And some of the fees on this Senate Bill 260, the transportation bill, people won't see those fees till after the next election cycle. And I think there's something just really, really wrong about that. That there's nothing, to not stand behind your policies. If you want to raise these fees / taxes at the gas pump, then at least let people know what's happening. And I guess that's why we do this show, Kathleen, is so that people can understand what's happening and they can talk with their friends and their family and their colleagues, because it's just really shady to do that after the next election cycle, because they know that people are not going to like that. I'm on the phone with on the line with Kathleen Skama. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance, and we realize this, that reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy, it really empowers people to thrive and prosper, and it's been under attack by the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of both of my shows. And they're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. I was out there for their recent event, a Dad Appreciation Day, which was beer, brats, and blades, and bought a gift out there. Really excited about that. But whether or not you are a collector or a chef or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has just the right knife or tool for you. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We are talking with Kathleen Skama about health and hydrocarbons. The show is brought to you by Laramie Energy. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim at Kim Munson. com. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Kathleen Scama. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. And we realize that hydrocarbons help us lead healthier lives, help us to thrive and prosper, to go after our hopes and dreams. And truly, it's been under attack. And Kathleen, it was astonishing to me when Biden was inaugurated, one of the very first things that he did was cancel the Keystone XL pipeline. And Patty, my researcher, found this from Fox News. It says, the left is aiming to defeat another pipeline, but Native American business leaders are defending its construction. And it says Matt Gordon, a VP of his family's construction company in Minnesota and a member of the White Earth Nation tribe, was troubled when environmental protesters, some claiming to speak for Native Americans, vandalized his company's equipment. And what do you think about shutting down these pipelines? Because I mean, that shuts off a supply line for us. And yet, my understanding is the Biden administration is helping Russia over in Europe with the pipeline. What gives on this?
Exactly. You know, there's this familiarity breeds contempt, right? You would think that the productive people in this country are just seem to be hated sometimes by the left. You know, it seems like they're willing to put, again, back to rural America, those in the heartland, you know, they're willing to disadvantage the heartland so much for whatever reasons, you know, political reasons that they don't like rural America and those who are productive in this society. And they're willing to disadvantage Russian producers. They seem to have no problem.
Or advantage Russian producers, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Give them an advantage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They give them an advantage because they hate those who are productive here in the United States. They hate oil and gas so much that they put the American producer at a disadvantage, but that helps the Russian producer. So it's not like our energy is going away. It's not like we don't need crude oil for gasoline and plastics and so many other uses in the United States. But we're willing to help Russia, or they so much don't like the natural gas producer in the United States for some reason that they're willing to let the Nord Stream 2 pipeline go forward, which Trump had successfully blocked, and let that go forward. Meanwhile, you know, killing off
the one
pipeline and 1,000 union jobs.
And the Nord Stream is the one that's in Europe, right?
That's right. That's the pipeline that takes natural gas from Russia into Northern Europe. So the Northern Europeans are very dependent on Russia for energy and natural gas. But there are the environmental lobby globally is fine with Russian gas as long as it disadvantages American gas. For whatever reason, they like Russia a lot better, probably because Russia funds a lot of this anti-oil and gas activity from the left, including in the United States. So
that's a great dot that you just connected, because people ask me all the time why. And so you're saying that Russia funds a lot of this anti-oil and gas here in America, and then we see people in the White House that are giving the Russians an advantage, disadvantaging our hardworking people. And why? I guess that's the big question. We got to a couple of minutes. What would you say on the why on that, Kathleen?
You know, I familiarity breeds contempt. They think that if they shut down American oil and gas, make energy more scarce for Americans, that we'll all just decide, oh, okay, we don't need reliable energy. And they'll be able to reduce fossil fuel usage by denying access to Americans of it. Well, that's not how it works. If we don't produce it here, we're going to bring it in from overseas. So we're going to send those jobs and hundreds of billions of dollars over to Russia and Saudi Arabia if we don't produce it here. You know, that just doesn't make any sense. It's this attitude that if we stop production, then we can just stop consumption. But people are not going to stand for that. People are not going to stand for only being allowed to fly on vacation once every 2 years, which is what they talk about in Europe doing. People are not going to stand for not having air conditioning in the summer, like many countries in Europe. We're just not, you know, we're Americans. We don't let people tell us what to do, and we're not going to sacrifice a healthy, safe lifestyle for on the altar of climate change. So, yes, they're advantaging Russia right now. Russia funds anti-fracking campaigns in Europe. So there was actually France canceled a contract to import American natural gas into the France because they were saying it wasn't clean enough. But they're happy to import gas from Russia, which has basically no environmental controls like we do in the United States. And it's because Russia does a really good job of funding anti-fracking, both in the United States and Europe. And so you have Europeans who actually believe that fracking is very dangerous and they don't want any natural gas that comes from fracking. But they're fine for, you know, Russia, the oil field in Russia is horribly corrupt and polluted.
You think? Oh, my gosh. Kathleen Skama, thank you so much, because reliable, efficient, abundant, and affordable energy helps people thrive and prosper, and elections do matter. We are seeing that. That's Kathleen Skama. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. Kathleen, thank you so much. We'll talk with you again very, very soon.
My pleasure, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
And our quote for today is from John Dickinson. He says, honor, justice, and humanity call upon us to hold and transmit to our posterity that liberty which was received from our ancestors. It is not our duty to leave wealth to our children, but it is our duty to leave liberty to them. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't say.